Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners, and I want to thank listeners who sent along a one-time donation through support.greatdetectives.net, in particular, David, Byron, and Victoria. You can also send in a donation with the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net. And I also want to thank those who sent along a donation via mail to our P.O. Box, Adam Graham, P.O. Box 15913, Boise, Idaho 83715. So thank you to Arnold, Linda, and Francis so much for your support. In addition, you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month at patreon.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date is February the 2nd, 1949, and the title is The Five-Note Murder Case.
Well, what about it, Bill?
Wait a minute.
Got an idea for the lyric yet?
Play the melody once more, Dick. I think I've got something.
It's about time.
Okay. Hold it.
All right.
How's this? Love won't call again.
Oh.
I won't fall again till I meet another you. That's not bad.
It never was bad.
A tune of yours sounds like 800 others. How do you expect me to get any kind of original idea for a lyric? Give me something to work with.
All right. Now, look, Bill, we've been fighting like this for months. We've got to do something, and we haven't written a hit tune in a year.
You want to break up the team?
No, I don't want to. They both seem to be written out.
What do you mean?
Well, those last songs we did. Joe Hendricks wasn't our friend as well as our music publisher. He'd have thrown him out in the alley.
I don't know.
Now, you put together an awful lot of bad lyrics for that group.
Oh, it's my fault. The lyrics were bad.
Yes, they were.
Just because I couldn't save those tired tunes of yours, it's my fault.
Tired tunes?
I ought to punch you right in the nose.
That'll be a fine answer to our problem.
It'll at least give me some satisfaction.
Yeah?
Now, I'm warning you. I don't like violence, but I'm getting to a point where I'm going to forget how much I hate violence and remember only how much I dislike you.
You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth. Yes, you're sure it's pure. CV's clear, clean taste tells you that and more. From your first sip of the smooth, creamy foam that billows on top of your glass, right down to that last delicious, full-flavored drop, you'll find CV bright and sparkling, light and lively, with the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor of a real honest-to-goodness beer, a premium-quality beer, premium quality that costs you no premium in price. Our enthusiastic friend, whose voice you just heard, has a special message for those who are not familiar with the beer with the million-dollar flavor. Just listen.
Try it. Just try CV, and you'll agree there is no finer beer. You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth. Yes, sir, just as smooth.
And now on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
Of course, course I know Joe Hendricks, Mary.
Good.
But I won't know him long if I ask him to publish this song of your cousin.
Oh, now, maybe it isn't so bad, Blackie.
Mary, dear Mary, everybody at some time or another has an idea he can write a song.
Mm-hmm.
This happens to be the time the thought struck your cousin. It should have been a trolley car.
Blackie.
Okay, you just made a bargain.
What do you mean?
You laughed at my joke.
No.
I'll take your cousin's song to Joe Hendricks.
Thanks, Blackie.
Yeah, let me have it.
Yeah, here. Here's a copy.
I'd like to see how it goes, so I know what I'm selling.
Well, here it is. And, Blackie, when you play it, use the other nine fingers, huh?
I'll do better than that. I've got a pretty bad baritone voice I've been holding back for years.
I like it.
Well, let's see how this epic goes. Good, huh? Let me croon neath the moon in the merry month of June, all the while you smile as you listen to my tune. Oh, brother. My mother used to say I should never have taken piano lessons, and she was right.
Why?
Mary, this song is terrible.
Well, no, it didn't sound too bad, Blackie.
You're just crazy about my voice.
Oh, Blackie, you say the nicest things about you. Is this song really terrible?
Oh, it's awful. That's one of the reasons I'm taking it, though, to Joe Hendricks right now. Mm-hmm. I forgot to tell you, I don't like Hendricks either. Go on in, Mary.
Okay.
Hi, Joe.
Well, hi there, Blackie. Long time no high see, huh?
Oh. This is Joe Hendricks, Mary. He and Inspector Faraday make the worst jokes in the world.
Yeah, well, what can I do for you, Blackie?
I've got a song, Joe. I'd like you to publish it.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. What's the title? In a Blue Canoe with You.
Mm-hmm.
In a blue... You're kidding with that, aren't you?
Oh, no. No, Mr. Hendricks. We're very serious. My cousin wrote it.
Well, your cousin ought to be a very happy character that he's your cousin, Miss Wesley. That's enough fame for anybody,
oh,
eh?
Oh, well, it's really nothing.
Look, Blackie, why don't you take this song back, put it on the floor, and let it crawl out of here by itself?
Well, don't you even want to hear it?
Look, if I want bad songs, I got Dick Alton and Bill Rutley under contract. They've written nothing but bad songs for the past year.
How are the boys? I haven't seen them for quite a while.
Oh, physically, they're fine. Mentally, they're out of town.
How about actually?
Well, they're in a piano room down the hall trying to write a song.
Oh, now, please, Mr. Hendricks, won't you listen to my cousin's number? Blackie can play it for you.
Well, how bad is it, Blackie, huh?
I can tell you in one word, very.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I've got an idea.
Oh, what is it, Blackie?
It isn't so bad that a professional songwriting team couldn't fix it up a little.
Well,
now, where did you say Alton and Rutley were, Joe?
Well, they're in the piano room down the hall.
I'm going in there to see him. Maybe they'll do something about your cousin's song, Mary.
Oh, good.
It won't be too long.
Okay, yeah,
okay,
I'll wait here.
Okay, the phones all the time. Oh, excuse me, Miss Wesley.
Oh, sure.
Hello, Hendricks B. Tommy boy. When'd you get down, Tommy boy? Well, swell, yeah. Swell, yeah. How's the lip of the old trombone? Sure, it always was the best, yeah. Hey, Tommy, I'm glad you called back. I got a song that's terrific. Oh, wait till you hear this title. Wait till you hear it. It's called You. Well, sure, I listened to your broadcast, but yeah, I wouldn't miss it, but you... Oh, you did the song last night on the broadcast, yeah. Well, it's a small world, ain't it? Yeah, well, thanks for calling, Tommy. That was...
I know. Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy.
Well, this is a very interesting business, Mr. Hendricks.
Oh, hi, great little business.
Oh, Blackie, did you find Dick Alton and Bill Rutley?
Yes, but they were too busy to work on your cousin's song.
Oh.
Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, Blackie. I think we'd better go.
Yeah, right now.
Well, Mr. Hendricks, it was so nice.
Yeah, it's certainly... Hey, what was that?
It sounded like a scream, and nothing sounds like a scream except a scream.
No, it came from that direction, Blackie, over there.
Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
Yeah, all right, but I never knew you to run away from a scream before. Joe!
Hey, it's Bill Rutley's wife. Honey, take it easy. What's the matter?
It's
Well, come on, kid. Come on, now snap out of it. What is it?
Joe, the other room. Joe, look for yourself.
Come on, Blackie. There's only one other room, and that's the piano room where Dick and Bill were working.
What happened there, Mrs. Rutley?
My husband's partner, Dick Alton.
Yes.
I found him shot through the heart.
What?
Alton?
No.
Now, wait a minute, Blackie. You were in there only a few minutes ago, and Alt was alive then.
Oh, well,
you
now
said he didn't want to work on that song you brought me.
That's right.
Maybe you better stay here, Blackie. Maybe you couldn't talk Dick into helping you. Maybe you got tired of shooting off your mouth and switched to shooting off your gun.
Okay. Okay, you got them all ready for the lineup, Jenkins?
Yes,
Inspector
Faraday. Call the woman out there first.
Okay, Inspector
Faraday. Rollins, take this down, then take down what she says.
All right, Inspector.
Name, Mrs. William Rutley. Occupation, housewife. Charge, suspected homicide. Well, Mrs. Rutley, what have you got to say?
I haven't done anything.
Inspector, why don't you get smart? She found the body, that's all. That doesn't make her a killer.
Shut up, Blackie. I run things down here. Mrs. Rutley, did you kill Dick Alton, your husband's partner?
No. All I did was find him already dead. That's all I know. That's all I know. Please let me get down from here. These lights, this train,
She's fainted, Faraday. Happy now?
When that dame comes to, take her in and book her for murder, Rollins.
Okay,
I'll be in my office.
He'll be in his office, Rollins, with me.
Beat it, Blackie, before I find a reason why you wanted Alton dead.
Oh, I had a reason, Inspector.
Eh?
A reason, but not a motive. There's a subtle difference there you wouldn't understand. Well, Faraday has booked Mrs. Rutley for Dick Alton's murder, Mary. But he's too good a cop to stop there.
No compliments for Faraday.
He'll be out looking for Alton's partner, Mrs. Rutley's husband, right now. Only if we're lucky, we'll find him first.
No, Mr. Hendricks said he hangs out in this place, but I've been looking around. I can't see him.
Bartender might be of some help. Hey, buddy.
Yeah? What do you have?
A little information for now. Do you know a fellow named Bill Rutley?
Sure. He's over in the last booth. Oh. Back there.
Thanks. Come on, Mary.
Oh, okay. Blackie, something's bothering me.
Something in your shoe or something in your eye?
Something in my mind.
Oh.
Was Dick Alton alive when you went into the piano room to get him to work on my cousin's song?
Good question, Mary. Good question. Remind me to answer it sometime.
Oh, now, Blackie, you got to
tell
me.
Well, here's the last booth. And coincidentally, here's Bill Rutley. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Mind if I sit down?
Oh, hello, Blackie.
This is Mary Wesley, Bill.
Hello.
Hello, Bill.
You look low. Things aren't that bad.
Aren't they?
No. I think I found a way to get Faraday to release your wife.
Thanks, Blackie. Appreciate that. Only it doesn't get me out of this mess.
You're in a mess, Mr. Rutley?
That's right. Dick and I were fighting. Everybody knows that. And I was just out for a walk when Dick was shot.
I wouldn't worry, Bill. The fact that you and Dick were quarreling wouldn't hold as a motive for murder.
No, but the insurance would.
What insurance?
Partnership insurance.
Oh?
When Dick and I were hot a couple of years ago, we took out partnership insurance. $100,000 worth.
$100,000 worth?
It's the only business-like thing I ever did in my life. When that policy is uncovered, I'll be in a spot.
You're in such a spot right now that the heat is beginning to affect me. Bill, tell me all you know about Dick.
Well, he was single.
Yeah.
Legitimate, didn't play around.
I see.
That's about all.
Okay. But somebody murdered him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to find out who killed your tune writer and make him face the music.
Light and lively, you bet. Bright and sparkling, yes, sir. And it's just as smooth.
Now, there's a description of CV's flavor that should make you want to pour yourself a glass of champagne velvet right now. When you do, you'll find your taste tempted by the creamy, snow-white foam that billows on top of your glass. And you'll see CV's purity in its pale, clear amber color, a promise of real thirst satisfaction. But don't just look. Taste it. You'll find it, as our enthusiastic friend says, bright and sparkling from foam to finish, with a clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. A premium quality beer, made with more costly premium quality materials, premium quality that costs you no premium in price.
Remember, you're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Dick Alton, part of a songwriting team of Alton and Rutley, has been murdered. Mrs. Rutley, who discovered the body, is booked by Inspector Faraday, though she claims she came into the building only seconds before the murder. Boston Blackie has discovered the songwriting team had partnership insurance, which makes Rutley a suspect. As we return to our story,
Blackie is with Inspector Faraday, who is holding Mrs. Rutley on suspicion.
I don't suppose you want to listen to me, Faraday.
Blackie, I don't even want to look at you.
Inspector, you're holding Mrs. Rutley. But I checked her arrival at the Hendricks building and found out that she got in the elevator only a few seconds before she found Dick Alton's body.
Yes, genius.
Any smart cop would have done the same thing, only, of course, he wouldn't be any relation to you.
He wouldn't.
What I'm trying to tell you is that according to the coroner's report, Alton had been dead at least a half an hour before Mrs. Rutley found him.
Okay, you've told me. So long, Blackie.
Still the same old Faraday. You won't listen to me.
Sure, I'll listen, but it's a little boring.
Since when?
You see, I checked all the details about the elevator myself this morning. Hmm. Mrs. Rutley has been free for 2 hours.
Please connect me with Mr. Lambert. This is Inspector Faraday of the police.
Blackie, yes, sir.
You get into trouble. This is the second time you call Lambert.
Shh, Mary.
Lambert speaking. How are you, Inspector? What can I do for you?
You remember I called you earlier today?
Certainly. You wanted information on the bank accounts of Dick Alton and Bill Rutley, the songwriter.
That's right.
I have them right here.
Good, good. Let's have that data.
Alton's account hasn't fluctuated much in the past several years.
I see.
Rutley and his wife, Mary, have a joint account. For the past several months, there have been checks drawn against it every few days.
Made out to the same person by any chance?
Made out to cash, Inspector, signed by Mary Rutley and endorsed by somebody named Edward Stone.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Lambert. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Blackie?
Not exactly well, but I'm feeling better.
I didn't mean that. I mean, what's going
Mrs.
on?
Mrs. Rutley's first name is the same as yours.
Well, what do you know?
Now the thing for me to do is to discover who a fellow named Edward Stone is, and then
Are you expecting somebody?
No.
Well, somebody just...
Come in.
Good evening, Blackie.
Oh, Mrs. Rutley, please come in.
I didn't mean to intrude, Blackie. I just came by to thank you for your help in getting me released.
Oh, you're not intruding, Mrs. Rutley, and... Faraday let you go before I asked him to.
Oh?
I'm glad you dropped in. You remember Mary Wesley, don't you?
How do you do?
Of course.
Won't you sit down?
Oh, thank you.
Cigarette, Mrs. Rutley?
Yes, thank you.
I'm sorry I have no matches. I did have a lighter, but I wore out one of the parts, my thumb.
I have my own matches, thank you. Now, here we are. One book of matches.
I'll light your cigarette for you, Mrs. Rutley. Let me have them. Here we are.
Thank you. Blackie, are the police close to finding Dick's murderer?
I don't know, Mrs. Rutley. All I do know is that I'm not.
Oh, I'm sure you will be.
Oh, thank you. I'll just sit back and listen while you tell me how wonderful I am.
Oh, I'd like to, Blackie, but I really did come down just to thank you, and I have thanked you, so I guess I'll run along.
All right.
Nice to have seen you again, Miss Wesley.
Nice thank to see you.
Nice to see you.
Don't bother, Blackie. I can get the door myself.
All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, she has charm, Blackie.
You have green eyes, Mary.
I do not. They're just sharp. I'm the observing type. For instance, I observed that you forgot to give Mrs. Rutley back her matches.
Hmm, just looking at them.
Mm.
The Rio Club, it says on the matchbox cover.
Rio Club?
Ever been to the Rio?
No, no, I don't go for that rumba and samba stuff. I like to dance in English.
The Rio's quite a spot, you know. Gambling hall downstairs. If you know the right people, you get in.
Oh?
I wonder how Mrs. Rutley got these matches.
You know, I once had a book of matches with an advertisement urging me to buy my hay, feed, and grain in Davenport, Iowa. It was too far, though. I just let my cattle get hungry.
Yeah, the talk is good, but the results are negligible.
Well, I just thought you might like
get
to
get your coat on, Mary. We are bound for the Rio Club.
The Rio Club? What for?
To see if there is a certain Edward Stone there.
Mm-hmm.
I found out he endorsed Mrs. Rutley's checks, and Edward is one stone I have no intention of leaving unturned.
Joe Hendricks speaking.
Joe, this is Mary Rutley.
Oh, hello, honey. I'm glad you called. I was going to call you and tell you how happy I was that the police let you go.
You're sure you were?
Well, sure, kid, sure. Just because you happened to walk in on Dick when he was dead is no reason
Joe,
for...
Joe, the songwriting team of Alton and Rutley were under contract to you.
Yeah. So what about it?
You had to pay them, even though they weren't producing any hit tunes.
Yeah, that's right. What about it?
Think a little bit, Joe.
What
would have happened if the police found out about that?
Huh? Well, I don't get you, Mary.
I think you do. If one of the members of the team happened to suddenly succumb to lead poisoning, you wouldn't have to keep shelling out.
Wait a minute. You think I killed Dick?
Me? I don't get paid to think.
But
I could get paid not to talk, though.
Oh, now, look,
think
Mary.
Think it over, Joe. I'll get back to you. Very soon.
Wait here, Mary.
Okay.
That's the door that leads to the gambling room here in the Rio Club. I'm going to try to get in.
Watch your step, Blackie.
You know me.
Yeah, that's what I say. Watch your step.
Here goes.
Well?
I'd like to get inside, friend. I could use a little action.
What makes you think anything goes on in here?
Oh, a friend of mine told me. A fellow named Stone, Edward Stone.
He's a friend of yours?
Well, just like this.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Who introduced you to Stone?
A friend of mine named Rutley, Bill Rutley.
A songwriter?
Yeah.
You're kidding. He's never been here.
Well, it wasn't exactly Bill. It was really Dick Alton, his partner, the fellow who was murdered yesterday.
You're quite a joker, son. Alton used to come here, but he never introduced you to Stone. Now, beat it.
Oh, no, you don't close any doors on me.
Okay, I'll hang one on you then.
Sorry, friend. But you're practically asked for that. Come on, get up. Tell me something. What made you so sure nobody introduced me to Edward Stone?
What did?
Yeah.
Pretty simple, kid. I never met you before, did I?
No.
Well, I'm Edward Stone.
Faraday, you've got to listen to me.
Who says so?
Someday your mind is going to be arrested for obstructing justice.
Yeah, drag on.
I've just come from the Rio Club.
I don't know anything about the Rio Club, Blackie. Except you should have stayed there. You want me to meet you at the office of Joe Hendricks, the music publisher?
That's it, and bring Mr. and Mrs. Rutley there. But be sure Hendricks is there, too.
I'll do it. I'm going to hate myself in the morning.
Hey, you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see you. What do you have?
Your license, if I don't get some right answers around here. I'm Faraday of headquarters.
Oh, yes, sir.
You got a guy hanging around here named Rutley, Bill Rutley. He's a songwriter. His partner got himself killed yesterday.
Oh, Bill Rutley. He ain't here. Was here, but he left.
Where'd he go?
Who knows? You try his house?
No, but I'm going there anyway to pick up his wife. I'll grab him there if he's home. If he gets back here, hold him, understand?
Sure, sure. Hey, Inspector, how's your friend Boston Blackie feel?
I don't know, and I don't care. And what difference is that to you?
No difference. Only if Blackie's feeling good, means your case is pretty near solved, don't it?
I've got Joe Hendricks. Mr. and Mrs. Rutley are inside in Hendricks' office, just like you asked, Blackie.
Good.
And now don't you think it's about time you told me why I did it?
Well, you did it, Faraday, because one of them murdered Dick Alton.
We'll see.
Now, take a deep breath, Faraday. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Take a seat, Faraday. Go ahead. Sit down. Everybody sit down.
What's the idea of this, Blackie? I'm trying to run a music business
and
here.
And I'm trying to run down a murderer, Joe. That's more important.
Oh, yeah, well.
You looking at me, Blackie?
Possibly. Bill, you were the lyric writer in the Alton-Rutley team, weren't you?
That's right.
I just wanted to make sure. Are you comfortable, Mrs. Rutley?
Oh, yes, thank you. Very.
Get on with it.
Now that we're all here, I've got to confess something. Yesterday morning, I left Hendricks and Mary in this office and went into a piano room where I found the murdered body of Dick Alton. And I picked up a piece of music manuscript paper that was lying on the floor near the body.
Dick was putting a tune down on paper when I left him.
Dick was working on that music when his killer walked in. He took one look and wrote down five notes at the bottom of the manuscript page. Here's the manuscript paper, and I'm going to play you the five notes right now. All right to use your piano, Joe?
Yeah? Oh, sure, sure. All right, go ahead. Sure.
Thanks. Now, here are the five notes. That's all, just those five notes. Anybody recognize the tune?
Hey, wait a minute. That sounds
it
like,
probably isn't any published tune, Blackie. Just an idea Dick got and jotted down.
I think not. Sir. I think it was his way of naming the killer he saw walk into that piano room, gun in hand. A silence gun, no doubt.
Now, wait a minute. Play those five notes again.
Sure, here.
Hey, hey, that's George M. Cohan's Mary.
That's right.
Yes, sure.
Well, what's that got to do with this?
Everything. The first line of the lyric, the one that matches these notes, is, 'Cause it was Mary. Dick Alton named his murderer just before he was shot. Mary Rutley, you killed Dick Alton. Grab her, Faraday. Don't let her get through that door.
Come on, Mary. I had to do it. I had to do it.
Well, this is a fitting climax in a music publishing office. I supply the words and music, and a murderess decides to sing. What don't you understand, Faraday, as if that were news?
Why, Mrs. Rutley killed her husband's partner.
Anybody knows the answer to that, Inspector.
Sure, anybody but me. Do you know Miss Wesley?
Well, I think so. Dick Alton had seen Mrs. Rutley gambling at the Rio Club. He threatened to tell her husband if she didn't stop. But she couldn't stop because she had to try to win enough money back to put in the joint account that she'd been draining.
Touchdown, Mary Wesley.
It was simple.
Yeah. So Mrs. Rutley killed Alton because she knew he would expose her.
Faraday, you amaze me. That's right. Yeah. I found out from Edward Stone Alton used to gamble at the Rio Club, and the chances are he must have seen it.
Okay, wise guy. But remember, you're the guy who wanted me to let Mrs. Rutley go yesterday because you checked the elevator starter and found out that she'd come in only seconds before she screamed.
You'd let her go before I asked you to, Faraday, remember?
Yeah, all right, infallible.
And that's easy to explain. She simply used the stairs the first time when she shot Alton and left the building, then came back a half hour later using the elevator where she could be seen.
You're such a genius, Blackie. When you had a clue like that music thing in your pocket all the time.
Uh-huh.
That practically told you that Mary Rutley murdered Alton.
You could have gotten the clue the same way I did, Faraday.
Oh.
Wrote it yourself. That's what I did.
Wrote it yourself?
I knew my facts were right, but I couldn't prove any of them, so I had to pretend that Dick Alton had written those notes in the hope of getting her to make a break, and she did. Well, aren't you going to congratulate me?
What for? You're getting married? I've got half a mind to...
Hold it right there, Inspector.
Right where?
Right where you were. You just said, Blackie, I've got half a mind. And you know something, Inspector?
What?
That's the first time you've been right in years.
Premium quality, yes, sir. Premium price, no, sir. There is no finer beer. And it's just as smooth.
And that's saying a lot in a few words. For Champagne Velvet is accepted everywhere as a beer of real premium quality. Here's why. Champagne Velvet's famous formula calls for only the more costly premium quality materials. And CV is made the more costly way. No time saved at the expense of careful brewing. No cost saved at the expense of controlled aging. Aging that brings CV to you at the peak of its famous million-dollar flavor. But CV's flavor tells you all of that. Full-flavored thirst satisfaction, of course. But more than that, CV's clear, clean taste makes you sure it's pure.
Yes, sir. Proved premium quality at no premium in price. You're sure it's pure. And it's just as smooth.
Now here's an example of what's in store for you on next week's Boston Blackie Adventure.
Hey, Whitey.
Yeah, Gabe.
Where's Paul?
And the other end of the roof talking to Marge.
Yeah, we'll get him.
Yeah, leave the lovebirds alone for a while. What's the rush?
Look, I've been waiting 7 years, Whitey.
Paul and me have been waiting too, Gabo.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't split that 50 grand until you got out. That was our agreement, remember?
Yeah, sure.
Cops grab you for the job, we hold onto the dough until you got out. Well, we've been holding it.
All right, where is it?
Well, Paul cashed the dough in for Barnes and hit him. But don't worry, they're safe.
Who worries?
Well, the way you...
I wonder where my girlfriend is.
Now, she'll be here.
Uh-huh.
Oh, hey, here comes Marge, Paul's
Whitey,
girlfriend.
Where's Paul?
Well, I thought he was with you.
Well, he was until a couple of minutes ago. Maybe he went downstairs.
Oh, we've been standing here in front of the only exit.
Now, look, boys, I left him just for a couple of minutes to go watch that plane. If he isn't up here, he must have walked down.
Well, maybe he jumped.
No.
Well, he didn't walk down.
I'm going to look down into the street.
Where are you going, Whitey?
Well, I'm going to look on this side of the building.
He's not down here.
Well, he's not here either.
Hey, what goes on?
Understand this. Paul isn't up here. There's no place for him to hide, and we looked down and couldn't see him.
Well, so what?
So it means he's disappeared into thin air.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I didn't like that it turned out it was Blackie who did the whole notes as the dying clue, that he faked that, because it's a silly thing for someone to do as they get killed. But it's something that, I guess, based on his reputation, that people would believe that Blackie had actually found. And of course, I should note that this is an episode, I don't remember the exact counterpart, but this one was a case of script reuse, as we have had this story before. But you do kind of expect, in a series that ran this long, that they would take advantage of the fact that not everybody had heard every episode and do some script reuse here and there. All right, well, listener comments and feedback now. Arnold writes in with his donation. This is to thank you for the radio shows. I listen to them every night. They relax me before bedtime. I look forward to hearing Johnny Dollar again. Victoria writes, I thank you for the wonderful program. You add interesting notes and have taught me to do some of my own research, and have found similar themes in other shows than the one you mention at times. Keep up the good work. And Byron says, love your podcast. Thank you so much for those comments. And we also have some Boston Blackie-specific comments. These come from YouTube regarding episode 2874, Mrs. Trilling's Maid is Murdered in Her Place. Eileen writes, it's just a schmew. I know you've covered it before, but I swear that commercial drives me nuts. Like a constant inside joke you can't figure out. Incidentally, they still sell that beer. I found the website, Champagne Velvet, apparently was created in 1902. Mary Wesley spent 5 minutes picking on Blackie to stop his vacation, just so she could pick on him for stopping his vacation. Sheesh. Women. Thanks for the comment, Eileen. Nancy writes, thanks, I love Dick Colmer in the series. A fun upload. Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Appreciate your comments. And I do want to go ahead and also thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Jameson. Jameson has been one of our Patreon supporters since June 2015, currently supporting the show at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Jameson. And that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then next Thursday, we'll be back with another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.